BFA, you realize Hui Ru has prepared the BFA. I think it's very well done, all right? Basically, we are gearing ourselves into this mood whereby we want to make sure that our group time, our small group time, in fact, we're going to call our small group discipleship group. No more small group, it's called discipleship group, to tell us and remind us of what the purpose is, all right? And your group time, this is what you're going to do. We want to encourage our members to prepare and then also to reflect in their time with God. And when we come together, there will be 20 minutes for sharing and prayer, 10 minutes for worship, all right? Seeking the Lord together, and you have 1 hour to study and 30 minutes to talk about how do we apply this as an individual and as a group. Okay, this is what you are supposed to do. This information has been emailed out to you if you are a small group leader. Okay, if you are not a small group leader, you know that this is what we are doing as a church, all right? So encourage people around you to join small group. Okay, yeah. Now, what are we going to do for this BFA equipping? We have 30 minutes, all right, from now, 30 minutes. I'm going to spend 10 minutes to talk about context, because context is king when it comes to reading and applying the Word of God. Okay, and also we didn't have a chance really to do an overview on the book of Luke, so I'll do a very quick way to just give you a very quick survey, all right, of the context whereby we are going to locate our text for this month of February. We are preparing for the month of February. We'll be looking at this segment, okay, your BFA for first week. Second week, I'm going to send to you some pointers. That's all. I don't think we have the time within half an hour to cover so much. Okay, so I think less is more. All right. And the last 10 minutes, we'll spend talking about how do you apply the text. So I'm just going to give you a very simple framework to help you think through the process of application. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Hopefully, you can have some discussion along the way when we look at the big picture and, I mean, the big idea and the application. Okay. We are good to go. Now, any point in time, if you want to stop me, just put up your hand. Okay? Any questions? If not, what we can do, brothers and sisters, regarding what Clive has shared to you and also what we are covering here, you can send us questions in your WhatsApp chat, okay, and we will answer you. Because we know there's very little time for you to interact. Later on, we'll give that time to you. Will that be good? Okay, so no worries. Just send the chat. You want to send, if you find it's too intimidating to tell everybody, you can send direct to me or to Reverend Clive, okay? But I believe your question will be helpful for everybody. So send it if you can via the WhatsApp chat. Thank you. Now, so we are looking at surveying the context, first part, all right? Now, very simple. Look at how Luke begins his introduction. First verse in Luke chapter 1. Okay, you notice the word highlighted in yellow. Hey, sorry. You notice the word highlighted in yellow. Fulfill. This is a very key theme when it says the events that have been fulfilled among us. Okay, we will talk about what this means in a short while. And you are eyewitnesses. He's going to talk about this again, all right? Eyewitnesses, right? Servants of the word, right? So you see three key ideas here. Fulfillment, the word of God, and we are servants by bearing witness to what God has done. Okay, can you see that? And how did he bring this up in the first chapter? He showed us the birth of John the Baptist coming in the spirit of Elijah, and what is that? If you compare Luke chapter 1 verse 17 to Malachi 4, the last two verses of the Old Testament, the last two verses in our English Old Testament, this is the almost exact word-for-word quotation, saying that now this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Old Testament come to a close, New Testament begin, and take where Old Testament has closed and bring it to a fulfillment, okay? This is the meaning of the coming of John the Baptist, all right? You see, I will send you a messenger, and this is, again, a quotation, and he will come to the Lord's temple. So in the first two chapters, what do you see? You see the Lord Jesus, right? What's the first thing Mary and Joseph did when Jesus was born? Do you remember? Bring him to the temple. Very good. And after the temple scene, when he was a boy, what's the first thing that Jesus did? At the temple also, right? Can you see that this is a fulfillment of Malachi? Right? Okay, I want to show you this is beginning, right? Chapter 1. Now I go to the last chapter, conclusion. Conclusion, right? You see again? These are my words. Everything written about me must be fulfilled. And this is the word "the" in the Greek, right? You see this word repeated throughout the book of Luke. beginning. For example, last week's message, Reverend Clive talked about this. Jesus said, I must be in my Father's house. It is necessary for me to be in my Father's house. He is using fulfillment language. Okay, so fulfillment is very important. And then how is this going to happen? He is the work that he's doing. Okay, he says this. This is the conclusion. And what is our role? We are witnesses. Can you see that he's repeating what he said in the first line of his chapter? So this is going to be his entire theme. Alright, can you see that? So I hope this gives you an overview. Just look at the first verse and the last chapter. Alright, you get an overview of what he's saying. Very quick, right? Very good. Alright. Very good, right? You are learning. Alright. Now, very broad outline, okay? How is Luke divided? One way to look at it is geographical. Alright, the first portion is comparison between John the Baptist and Jesus parallel. Now, why John the Baptist and Jesus parallel? Who is John the Baptist? Forerunner. And he's also the last of the Old Testament prophets. Very good. Alright, he is the greatest. And Luke is comparing the greatest of the Old Testament prophet to Jesus and says that he prepares the way for Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying that Old Testament prepares the way for the coming of Jesus. You get that? Very important. That is the fulfillment theme. All right. Then we will start with the Galilee ministry. And today you are going to look at chapter 5, chapter 6. Where is that located? Highlighted in yellow for you. Okay. This is where we are going to look at. Journey to Jerusalem will be the next segment. Preparing to die. Preparing to go to the cross. And then the last portion, from triumphant entry to cross to resurrection. Okay, this is how it's divided. So today, it's been highlighted for you in yellow. And then again, what is this segment about? Okay, use the same method. Look at the start, look at the end. How did Jesus begin his Galilean ministry? We'll talk about it in a message next week. All right, this is a very, very important passage. Luke 16 to 30. All right, this passage, Jesus starts his Galilean ministry actually not in Nazareth. Okay, if you read Mark, this happens in Mark chapter 6. But Luke bring it forward. Because in this little message that Jesus is going to present, he's going to be rejected. And Luke will show us the entire theme and manner and character of Jesus' ministry just by this one event. It's very important. It brings out Jesus as a suffering and rejected prophet Messiah. And salvation is for the Gentiles, for the poor. It's inclusive. All right, by the example that he raised up, through quoting Isaiah and then giving an example of Elijah and Elisha. We'll talk about it in the sermon next week, but this is very important. It tells us the nature, the quality, and what Jesus is coming for, to set the captives free. All right, he is the Savior, the Messiah, the Deliverer. Right, he has come, okay, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Very important, all right? So this is the tone and is in accordance to God's plan. Again, fulfillment theme. Now, I'm going very fast, all right? So you may find that, wow, it's a lot of information going in, but remember, it's recorded. You go back, you can play back, and the slides, you can look at it, and let it sink through, all right? Let it sink through. Okay, how does it end? End chapter 9. What is that? A very central question of discipleship. Who do you say I am? Okay. You notice this coming out in Clive's messages, right? Who do you say I am? All that. Because it's a central theme in Luke. Who do you say I am? What have I come to do? Okay? What did he come to do? And how are you supposed to respond? It's a discipleship call. Can you see? Central. This is the punchline, all right? So don't miss this. The high point of what Jesus, the central question and the call to discipleship. I'm going to show you what is in there. Like, who do you say I am? Now, this also appears in the other two Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, okay? So, I want to show you that this is a central theme, not just in Luke, but in the other two Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, okay? And of course, this is what he has come to do. Who he is and what he has come to do, alright? He tells us. And then the next one, how are we to respond? Okay, he tells us also after that, we are to deny ourselves and follow him. And then, there is a transfiguration. Now, this is very important. When Jesus asked Peter the question, who do you say I am? This is the modern answer. The Father responded to that question and said, this is who my son is. He is my son He is the chosen one, means he's the savior, the deliverer. Listen to him. Now, if your answer do not match the model answer that God gives from heaven, you're in trouble. You got that? Can you see that divine respondence, a question and answer? So, very important, all right, how we are to respond. And consequently, you know, just now I show you this. This is a discipleship training manual. The book of Luke is a discipleship training manual. You understand that? So is the book of Matthew and the book of Mark. Right? That's why we are studying it. Okay, you got that? You see the theme of discipleship. So, that is the overview. Okay, very quick, right? The very quick overview. Now, we are going to do the big picture. I hope you have read this text. Now, this is a very huge chunk, all right? It's a very huge chunk. What do you do when you see a chunk like that? What's the first thing that you do? Do you know? Very good, right? Chop, 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 chop. That's what you do with a fish, right? Chop it up is a big one. Otherwise, you won't cook, okay? How do you chop it up? Okay. Now, this is not my most updated file. I'm supposed to come out in bullet points, all right? One at a time. But, okay, since everything is up, all right, I hope you don't try to read everything, but we go through segment by segment. Okay, first thing is, I'm giving you all the answers. Actually, I wanted you to give some that thing too. I'm sorry about that, right? You know, because I transfer from my file from the computer into this one, I didn't save the latest file. So all the bullet points are gone, all right? So I'm going to give you the answer straight away. Alright, so it's alright. So when you segment in the text, it's very clear. Actually, you got a good Bible segment for you. Alright, and it's quite easy. It's segment by stories. So what you need to do is to put a title to each of the story. Very simple, right? The first one is the calling of Peter. Now, you may not want to title the same as me. That's fine. Okay. Then the cleansing of the leper, the curing of the paralytic, and then the conversion of Levi. Now, how do you pick up the big idea? What I mentioned here, this is a structure to you. Structure the text first. Then from the structure, you look for repetition of words and key ideas. Okay? This tell you what's important. Now, for instance, I want to ask the first question. What is common among the beneficiaries? Peter, leper, paralytic, and Levite. What is common if you look at it? Huh? Fishermen. Not all are fishermen. Okay, so fishermen is unique. But there's something you can link about fishermen, okay? You can talk about it. Huh? Anything else? Ordinary. You need to look at your Bible, okay? You need to look at your Bible, okay? Now, I'm going, you know, you think through. I just give you a short while, think through, all right? You look through what is common among them. Okay? Huh? Rejected, very near. Very low class, very good, very good. What else? Outcast, okay? You're picking up, you're going the right way. Anything else? Huh? Marginalized, what else? There's a word, no, that comes up. Excluded. Huh? Excluded. Sorry? Excluded. Some more? Okay. Bingo. Right? Yes, I want to show you the next text. Can you see every story? Can you see the word coming up? Okay. Sin. Alright. Yes, actually they all have their conditions. One is a leper, leper doesn't mean it's sinful, but you need cleansing. But it's at the root of it is our fallenness, right? There's a paralytic, he has a problem. Another one has a problem, is vocation. So they all have problems. But the root of it is sin. And Jesus came to deal with that, okay? Now that's very important. So first thing, lock in your head, okay? Deal with sin, okay? What's the next thing? Do you recognize that there are authorities? Each of them, Jesus is dealing with authorities in their own field. First one, Peter, who's the authority there? I heard Bean, you mean what? Fisherman. Why is Peter an authority as a fisherman? He's a professional, right? And what did Jesus do? Jesus was a carpenter. A carpenter telling a fisherman what to do. Can you see that? Authority, okay? He's the authority, but hey, here's Jesus, come on. And what else? Who's the authority in the other than Jesus? Who's the authority here? Who was the leper supposed to see after he's healed? The priest, right? The priest is the one who decides who is clean and who's not clean. Okay. And here, in these two stories, who are the authorities? Who are the authorities? Who are the authorities there? Of the Jewish people? The Pharisees and elders, they are the doctors of the law, okay? They interpret the law. And here comes Jesus and tell them, do it otherwise. Now, why bring up this? What's the difference between their authority and Jesus' authority? Okay, think about that, okay? Because you can see the theme there. And you realize that they were, especially towards the end, right? The healing of the paralytic resulted in them rejecting Jesus' authority. Can you see that? And challenging that authority and questioning that authority. Do you see that? You see that, right? And you how did Jesus counter that? He pronounced forgiveness. And only God can forgive. And say, who are you? How did Jesus back that up? Healing. All right. Because in their mind, this guy is a paralytic because he's a sinner. If God healed him, means the sin is dealt with. Okay? So you see the logical link there. Okay, and then conversion of Levi, again, Jesus being challenged. Right. Can you see? So there's an issue of authority there. Then what is the common outcome? What is common in outcome? Every outcome, there's some commonality there. Do you pick it up? What happened? They are slightly varied, all right, but there is a common theme there. Yes, he does that. Yes, that is the difference between Jesus' authority and the authority of the Pharisees. But you realize the common account, what happened to these people after what Jesus has done to them? The beneficiaries. Huh? Tell others, and what else? Huh? They praise God, right? Then even Levi, what did he do? He invite his friends, okay? So you see that they begin to be involved in the mission of what God is doing. Can you see that? Yeah. Now, so you can see all the commentary, and then you ask the final question, what does this tell us about Christ and his concern about mission, okay? So you think through, or can you see that? Now, then from there, you form the big idea. Ask yourself, how do you put that into words? Can you see that? Now, your big idea probably will come out, look slightly different from what I put it, how Hui Ru put it, all right? But it should hit, at least we should have maybe 70% similarity, right? If you capture most of the themes here, you understand? You may miss out one or two, it's fine. But the idea of working towards a big idea is that you read through and then you ask yourself, what is the focus here? Okay? You got it? Okay, I want to share with you big idea that I put up, okay? Now, ideally, the big idea can put it near about 10 words. Now, yeah, I spell it out a little bit more so that it captures more, but the 10 words can be reduced to those highlighted in yellow. Okay. Now, it looks, I tell you, the way you put it may not look the same as me. It's all right. Okay. Don't worry. This is not, this is not inspired. All right. So, the inspired word is in the text. All right? So, what we want is, we want to approximate what the text is saying, and we will never be 100% there. All right. Because we are learning, we are growing. Right. So don't beat yourself up, right? But the objective of this is not to get the moral answer. The objective is to get you thinking and working through the big idea, because you've got to crunch the text and ask, what is the message? And only when you got a message as a small group leader, as a leader, then you can bring it down and tell the people what is this. Then there's a burden in your heart when you go and lead a small group, you understand? You receive that message, you stood in the counsel of God. Then you have there's a prophetic burden in your heart as you lead the people. You want to see them getting that same message as well. And you can guide them. That's the whole purpose, okay, of your small group leading. Good. Okay, Jesus, Lord and Savior, very important. Lord, came for sinners and outcasts. And he alone has the divine authority to transform, including forgiving, and transform their unfruitful situation. It can be their vocation, okay? Or like in the case of Peter and the case of Levi, and their hopeless situation into fruitful ones for his mission. You got that? You got that? Right? You see that happening in every one of them, okay? Turn into fruitfulness. So from here straight away, you can think of application already. Can you fit yourself and your people into this category? And there are some of the needs that Christ has come to answer in your vocation, in your situation. You can, right? You start imagining, all right? So once you've got a big picture, the application is coming already, all right? So you move on. Discussing application, okay? Now again, we are going to use these two. Now, I cover all these tools in the big picture. Dig deeper, all right? Dig deeper. If you want to come for the course, it's going to happen in June, all All right, I'm going to cover all these tools, but I'm going to use them here so that you can correlate. All right, it's found in the book, Dig Deeper. If not, you can read on your own. All right. Author's purpose too. Ask yourself, why did the Holy Spirit inspire this text for us? Now you're trying to think God's thoughts after him. Okay, that's the message, but why? Why did he give it to us? What does he want? So what, you know? That I suggest, based on what you have seen, that we may embrace Christ's lordship and unique authority, realize our sinfulness, our fruitlessness, and our utter need of him. Okay? Put confidence not in ourselves, like Peter, you know, very confident, fishy, but got nothing still. No choice, Jesus said, do it, Lord, but maybe he was very skeptical, But when the fish come, he got a shock. Okay? So don't rely on ourselves and our professionalism, but on Christ, on his ability to change. Because sometimes you say, hey, that guy, how will he ever believe the Lord? Won't, right? So you don't want to share with him. No. All right? You trust the Lord. Okay? And then join him in his community and his mission. Now, why community? Okay? There's at least two accounts there that relates to community. In fact, all of them are in the setting of a community. You realize? A fisherman is not one who casts a rod, no? Where's John? Pastor John? Not the kind of fisherman cast the rod one. This one is a fishing community. They cast a net. Okay, you don't fish alone. You cannot fish alone, man. Okay? So it's community. So you look at a BFA question, it's directed at the community. But of course, you can apply it to the individual. Okay? So from there, you want to ask the so what, no? So I just phrase it very simply now. I want to bring a bit of focus here because I think there's a lot to do with the mission here, I feel. All right. So the community is a missional community. Christ's community is a missional community. So that question you have to ask yourself then, where is yourself? How do you become? And I want to suggest, I want to give a framework here. I stole this from Sunday school. Okay? But Sunday school stole it from us. Okay, I will tell you why. Okay. Now, there's learning, loving, and living, okay? You break your application. For instance, when we want to think of, what is this learning, loving, and living? Just now you saw Reverend Clive's conclusion, right? What are the disciples? It involved not just one aspect, the head. Okay? It involved also, you say, not just the knowing, but the being and the doing, okay? So, this is the knowing, this is the being, this is the doing. You break it down into this step. When you have the learning and the loving, you ask yourself, how do you achieve that? One example. Okay. I want to ask the Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers here. The first story, right, I'm going to share that, okay? Next February, IG Sunday, children message, okay? Peter, fisherman, right? And then he acknowledges a sinner, and then Jesus said, you become fisherman. Okay, Sunday school teacher, how would you bring that down to your children? No, using this process. What do you think they need to learn? Love and living. Any suggestion? Any suggestion? The Sunday school teachers. How will you bring this down? What do you want the Sunday school children to learn? If you are dealing with children, when you saw this passage, what do you want him to know? From that story. What do you want him to know? Any suggestion? You go back to this, right? You want him to know this, right? You want him to know this, right? You want them to know Jesus as Lord? You want them to know they are sinners? Correct or not? Of course, we want them to join God's mission to tell their friends about Jesus. But before that, why is it important that they must know they are sinners? Why? Any suggestion? Why is it so important that we must know we are sinners? Must Sunday school children know their sinners? Yes. Point two. Yeah. Correct. Very good. Okay. And it's also when you tell your friends, you don't tell them as if I'm better than you. You need Jesus, you know. I already have. You think they'll listen to you? Cannot. You say, I am a sinner. I found Jesus. I want to tell you. Because you also need, you're like me. You know, we are the same. You get me? You share the same. So, very important for mission. If not, you'll fail your mission. Every time you say, hey, people, we leave a bad name, no? People see Christian smell and you go away. You know, you're arrogant people. You think you know the best. It doesn't work, okay? So, we must recognize we are sinners. Okay? So, learning that you are a sinner, learning that Jesus is Lord, important. Who must you love? Sunday school teachers again. You know why? Children, when children learn it, adults should know one. So if children can understand, adult will understand. You understand or not? So you want to be a good teacher, go and learn to be a Sunday school teacher. Then you know that you become simple. People can understand you, okay? Yeah. Okay, you understand that? Okay, loving, what do you want them to love? Love God. Love others, right? Have compassion, right? Because your fellow sinners are not better than you. Okay? And then living, how to live that out? Now, huh? Serve. Very good. Serve among the community. What else? Huh? Share. Okay. Okay, if this person never shared the gospel ever before to a non-Christian, you think he'll go and share? Yes or not? Huh? Sorry? Through their interaction, right? Through informal time. Yeah, show love and care. And then, but there must be the part where you must tell them about Jesus also, right? Otherwise, you'll never know, right? How do you do that? Huh? You learn from the story, lah, you know? The story of the leper, right? Go and tell the priest. Okay? Tell someone that, you know? So, we can apply that in our small group. Tell your story, okay? Tell your story. Before you tell your friends, tell to the community first. Can you apply that in a small group? Can? Small group leaders create a chance for them to tell their stories. So you get used to saying your stories to one another. The next step is go and tell your friends. Okay? So create baby steps for them. Okay? And I want to say one last thing about application. Don't be hard-pressed to give them something to do every week. Okay? Because to change a habit takes at least 21 days. Right, you cannot change 10 habits in one go. You can't. All right, and every week come got some major habit to renovate. After 1 month, you're remember you're walking like that. Okay, so remember, change involves a few elements. It involves your perspective, involves your identity, and then your calling. And discipleship, we are working on all these three areas. So have some idea what you're working on. Don't have to be too ambitious. As long as your members say, "Hey, this is relevant to me," okay, this is application. All right. Doesn't mean that every time you got to do something. Right? But having some simple, small steps is helpful. Okay. So that's all I want to tell you about application. Now, I've got some reading materials for you. I believe I must have run out of time already. Let me see. Okay, I got two more minutes. All right. Then you'll be 30 minutes. All right. Okay. Now, I break it down into a table. Okay. Now, this table can be further improved, right, to help you think. This is a way for you to think. When you look at application, you can think through a paradigm like that. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you are small group leader or Sunday school teacher, okay, or some other. You think through, what do I need to learn? What do I need to love? Is there something wrong with the way I love? What do I love? Maybe I don't love people. I love the way I look. I love praises more than I love people. Okay, maybe I want my cell leader to pat on my back. Hey, well done, faithful disciple. You know, maybe that's what I love. Then I need to repent. Okay, and change my love. Living, how do I live that out? If I want to learn this, if I want to love this way, what must I do? Okay, think in these kind of steps. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Okay, good. With that, I'm going to just show you the reading the material. You've got questions, you can put into the WhatsApp chat. Okay, I break it down for you. Okay, now I included this text. This text we didn't include because, you know why? We plan the text according to the preaching. Now preaching, you cannot take too big a chunk. This is already a very big chunk already. All right. So we cannot give you a small chunk. But if you want to get a full feel of the text, you've got to read from beginning to the end. So I kind of put it in, but I didn't highlight it, okay, so that you get a feel of it. I give you some notes there, you read it yourself. Okay, I explain it. Then I give you a suggested big picture. Okay. Why I talk about end day is because of the punchline. Okay, because of the punchline here. In the Beatitude that was given, blessed are you, woe to you. And Jesus gave them the reason why some are blessed, some are woe. And that is very critical. It has got to do with God's end time judgment of who we are. Okay, that changes everything, the way we look at life. Okay, so this is perspective. It's very important. All right. Discussion, application. Now, I put this out. Hui Ru's BFA, they have given you a leader's guide. Okay, that's also very good. Okay, you can refer to that. It doesn't have to stick to this, but you know that there's actually an intersection there. Then I give you some questions, okay, that you can put it. And in the form of, after you ask that question, you break it down. Okay, in that same format. Okay? So you must thank the Sunday school again. Okay, something learning, loving, living. Very simple, but very applicable. Okay. Now, that's all that I have for you.